On Sunday, July 6th at 11 p.m., Sugar in My Bowl presents drummer, percussionist, composer, arranger, multicultural warrior educator, Bobby Sanabria. Listeners might remember Bobby Sanabria from The Journey. This time we get to learn more about Bobby Sanabria. That's Sunday, July 6th at 11 p.m., right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web.
You're listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM. Sugar in My Bowl is the name of this program. You know, I neglected to mention in that promo that Bobby Sanabria will be live in the studio. As a matter of fact, I think I just heard from him. So he'll be on his way, but we'll be listening to a couple of his tunes as we make way for Bobby Sanabria. This indeed is Sugar in My Bowl. My name's Joyce Jones. We'll be hearing from the bandstand later with Hank Williams, our associate producer. So stay tuned.
Maybe I can fix things up so they'll go. What's the matter, Daddy? Come on, save my soul. I want some sugar in my bowl. I ain't fooling. I want some sugar. My boat.
Saxophone, Benny Burnett, trumpet, Saeed Ah, the piano, in the role of Duke Ellington.
expressway. Just inside a bridge, Maria insinuates from the hips. She got condoms for the out-of-state tricks and rubbers for everybody else. The man she loves is in the house of detention. The J in his name is an H, and it sounds like Jesus. He tries to explain the difference between them. You can be Mary in America. Your name can be Peter. But no matter what happens, Precioso, you cannot be, you cannot be, you cannot be Jesus. Drive from here to where the country ends, past the Shinnecock Reservation, past the million-dollar homes in Amagansett, out to Montauk Point. The nation comes down to a two-lane road and a lighthouse above the tides. The Grand Concourse in Yankee Stadium in the Bronx was once a postcard and a stamp like that, rolled into one myth that roared with the power of the local hero. But in the Bodega Republic, it's a different game. There's 12 movies and 12 theaters. There's the Korean girls who avoid your eyes. There's the Arabs with the newsstands and the last of the bodegas. There's the paraprofessional shop steward making herself up in the rush hour crowd. Her lipstick after hours red, her letters of reference from the School of Beauty and the Technical Career Institute. And looking out of the window as the moon passes by, there's a face that was meant to be. There's days and days and days going by in broken
days
English.
Days and days and days going by in broken English. Days and days and days going by in broken English. Days and days and days going by in broken English.
Shiva looks in and Shiva looks out from the sign for West Indian store. Vegetables if you want, fruit in video tape. Airline reservation for the trip back home. This is not the house that Ruth built. This is where the line begins. From off-track betting to the lotto machine. Flower shop and liquor store on either side. And early, 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 early one morning, Ramadan begins with 200 Muslims praying in the park. And tonight, the Indians will drink their six-packs and talk calypso. There's Simonized cars with the doors wide open. Bob Marley kicking on the Betsy box. There's a completed finished sermon written under rest in peace. This wall is for Lightbulb, who lost his cool. And this is where Lightbulb got wax.
tuned. You're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM. You know, I was looking for this promo. I was hoping that that was it. Is this it? No. See, why don't they just have one promo, these people? You know, they have, like, more than you need. But let's see. Because it's, I wanted to. It would be so cool to hear it. There it is.
Mambo, charanga, son montuno, jazz, merengue, plena, Latin jazz, Latin soul, Brazilian jazz, samba, calypso, soca, new sounds from the African continent, all this and more on New World Gallery every Sunday, 4 o'clock p.m., with award-winning host Chico Alvarez. New World Gallery, where jazz meets Latin, where Africa and Europe converge. Right here on listener-sponsored WBAI 99.5 FM.
Yeah, that's the one. They actually have a new time now, so...
Really?
Yeah, I should probably... Actually, if it's here, I should play it. Now that I've played that, I have to find the... Oh, here it is. Okay, let's listen to this, then. Is this it? Come on.
Your listeners are privy to a private conversation here on WBAI.
That's right. We're finding out. Actually, it would help you as well to find out. Let's see.
This is WBAI 99.5 FM and streaming live at WBAI.org. Letting our listeners know of a new program scheduled for Sunday, July the 6th, 2014. Beyond the Pale Collective has decided to discontinue their program on WBAI. So as of Sunday, July the 6th, 2014, the new show schedules are from 6 to 8 a.m., High Praise. From 8 to 9 a.m., Special. 9 to 11 a.m., Here of a Sunday Morning. 11 a.m. to 12 noon, The Next Hour. Noon to 3 p.m., Through the Opera Glass. 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., Concerto Latino. Will alternate with New World Gallery.
That's it. So from 3 to 6. They now have 3 hours.
Instead of 4 hours. Because there used to be...
Instead of 2 hours.
Well, it used to be 2 hours for...
It was two each. Right. New World Gallery had one and Concerto Latino had another. But now they will both share 3 hours. They will alternate with each other on Sundays.
Right. So, but
from 3 to 6.
Instead of from 2 to 6. Because they used to have from 2 to 4...
Oh, so instead of 4 hours of the music.
Right, the music.
Yes.
There'll be 3 hours. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm telling you, your listeners, you got to support the music. You got to support the programming here at WBAI, the specific shows that you love. So now, instead of Latin jazz and what we call salsa, which is Afro-Cuban-based dance music, Brazilian jazz, and all forms of Latin American jazz... And other forms from Latin America having 4 hours, we just have 3 hours. So there you go. But that's let's
but
not talk about
that. Apparently works for them because they get to have 3 hours themselves as opposed to two each. So they've actually earned an extra hour for themselves. So I was listening to Chico today, as a matter of fact, and it had been a while since I heard him because it sort of conflicts with WKCER and Jazz Profile. So
I see.
but I remembered why I like listening to Chico. He plays some great stuff. I mean,
most
really
definitely, and he just gets warmed up. Well,
yeah.
Both those guys, Nando, Chico, mm-hmm. and Mickey with Nando, Mickey Melendez,
right.
They're just getting warmed up after 2 hours. So
that's it.
Maybe
so now
work.
They have a third hour, and they're alternating.
It's all perception. It's all how you look at it.
That's right. That's right. So next week, it's going to be Mickey and Nando.
Oh, fantastic.
Because this week it was Chico and New World Gallery.
Well, happy 4th of July weekend to everyone. My name is Bobby Sanabria, in case you're wondering who the hell is...
I was actually going to make my way to saying that, but I'm glad you said it yourself. Bobby Sanabria, who provided WBAI with the journey. We worked together on that. Yay.
That was fantastic. And people still ask, stop me on the street.
And they should.
and ask me about it, and they say, is it still available?
It
yes,
is.
It is.
And if you go to give, the number two, WBAI.org, you can find it listed under CDs. And it's a three CD set. Beautiful package. Beautiful and very informative.
And hopefully we'll do it again. But
We're going to do something else, you know.
Almost definitely.
We have thoughts of doing something
else. Most definitely. I'd like to do something on just the history of funk. Just the, like.
And then you won't be doing that with us. We actually want to do something else.
Okay. Sounds good to me. I'm waiting with bated breath.
Actually, but, let me check something. Hold on. Say something.
Hello. Testing.
Okay,
one,
great.
Two.
I wanted to make sure I had the right button here because nothing's labeled right now. So. Okay. Oh, I need to let the listeners know before we go off into Chatterland, what we've heard, what we just heard, glasses please, was titled Legue?
No, Jegue.
Jegue.
Which was composed by Francisco Paquito Pastor, a fantastic unsung pianist and composer arranger here in New York City from Ponce, Puerto Rico, who played for many years with Celia Cruz, Tito Puente, Machito. He's played with everybody in the business. Very incredibly humble man, but he wrote this piece around 1963 at the height of the Bossa Nova movement in worldwide, and the chords are that, and you could play certainly the piece as a bossa nova samba, but it was recorded by the Tito Puente Orchestra as a jazz mambo and never was released until later after Tito had passed away.
Wow.
On a compilation album, and had been recorded once before by the Joe Cuba Sextet, and we did it on my first solo album, New York City Ache.
Yes.
And there's some... there's some backstory.
Well, what's actually, before you get into the backstory, I want to let the people know that it has you, which is part of the backstory, I guess, which has you playing drums, timbales, vibraharp, conga, bongo, and bell.
Right. And doing background vocals, too, on some of the background vocals.
And electric bass is Donald Nix. Acoustic piano is John DiMartino. Alto sax is Gene Jefferson. I know his daughter, Gina. We used to drum together. Hi, Gina, if you're listening. And flute and tenor sax, Jay Rodriguez, who is he's a bad man. He does the theme for Liquid Sound Lounge. That
no
comes
kidding.
On Saturdays, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He plays with the, what is it? I can't remember the group now, but they're a dance group that it'll come to me in a second, but they're very much part of the dance club scene for many, many years. It's a funk dance group. Yeah, in the Liquid Sound Lounge.
Yeah, and that's why. Yeah. Genie would play them, I'm sure.
Right.
And on trombone, we have Louis Kahn. And on vocals, it says Louis Kahn, Eddie Bobet, Gene Jefferson, Jay Rodriguez, Tatiana Calzado, and Hiram Ramon.
Right, and myself also. We're in the mix.
Yeah.
So, that was recorded many, back in the 90s, early 90s, with my group Ascension.
Actually, I have 98 as a release date on Flying Fish Records.
Well, that was when it was re-released.
Right. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, 93.
That's right.
Yes,
yeah.
That's it.
Early 90s. Yeah, yeah. So that was my first solo record, and just an interesting backstory. The reason I'm playing all the percussion instruments on that track is because the gentleman that was supposed to be playing didn't show up. So the engineer goes to me, what do you want to do? I says, run the tape, because I'll play drums and then I'll layer the congas, bongo. So it sounds like like there's the full battery of Afro-Cuban percussion there, and it is, but it's provided by yours truly. And then I played vibes on it also, which is an instrument that I rarely get to play anymore, but I try to play it at least on one thing on every recording that I've done as a solo artist.
Oh, okay. But since you've been doing big band, you've not played then.
On the last record we did, which was Multiverse.
Yes.
I played some xylophone and some vibes on that, just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit. But And it's an instrument that I want to get back more back into, especially now that I'm playing with M. Boom, Max Roach's percussion ensemble, the legendary Max Roach's percussion ensemble, which will be celebrating its 45th year on planet Earth.
Wow.
Next year, because it was formed in 1970.
Who is it? You know, that's what I meant to bring. I meant to bring something by M. Boom. But who's part of M. Boom these days?
Well, it's Eli Fontaine.
Right.
Whose father, Eli Fontaine Sr., is the sax player that you hear on all those Marvin Gaye recordings. Like What's Going On and et cetera, Inner City Blues. Mm-hmm. I mean, all those classic Motown things.
Wow.
He was the man at Motown. Obviously, Master Warren Smith, who just turned 80 years old.
Yay!
Master of timpani, vibes, marimba, xylophone, incredible drum set player. One of the first people of color to break the color barrier on Broadway in terms of being a percussionist on the Broadway
scene. In the pit.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then the great...
Do you know what show it was that it was?
I think it was West Side Story.
Wow. Okay.
West Side Story, yeah.
Wow.
In its early days. And then Maestro Joe Chambers, who is the leader of the ensemble now.
Is it North Carolina or Virginia? Which is...
I believe he's living in Virginia right now.
Okay.
Joe is a fabulous vibes player, as well as being an incredible drummer. Many people who are into the hard bop movement have many recordings that Joe's on for many great artists on the Blue Note label. Mm-hmm. But he's a fantastic vibes player.
Yeah.
And he's always complaining, saying, I just want to play vibes now. You know, nobody wants...
It would be nice to hear him do that, because I think there's one recording I think you did with him, and he played vibes.
I've done several with him.
Mm-hmm.
One called Urban Grooves.
Uh-huh.
And where I play drum set and congas. And there's another recording called The Outlaw.
That's the one I was thinking about, yeah.
The Outlaw, where I'm playing percussion on there.
And he plays vibes.
And marimba, yeah.
Marimba.
And he's a great composer also for strings and big band.
He will eventually be a sugar guest. I'm just saying.
He's got a fascinating background,
yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
And then Maestro Ray Mantilla.
Mm.
Who was one of the original, he wasn't an original member, he came in second,
okay,
after Richard Pablo Landrum.
Oh, okay.
And then he was replaced by Ray Mantilla, who just turned 80 himself just recently.
Wow.
So,
happy belated.
Yeah,
happy delayed.
the power of the knowledge that these men have is really incredible, and I'm very privileged to be part of the ensemble. And we did a concert in Atlanta a few weeks ago.
Is there any plan for it to come here soon?
Well, yes, Joe. All I can say is that Joe said it's coming.
Okay.
So you know what that means. It means it's going to happen.
Okay, great.
But if any of you have seen this ensemble, the amount of instruments that we use on stage is breathtaking, because we use a full-size marimba, xylophone, orchestra bells, chimes, five timpani.
Wow.
Gongs. Of course, full battery of Afro-Cuban and Brazilian percussion, several drum sets. So it's astounding. And you can view some of Boom's performances on YouTube. Check it out. It's spelled M.
Apostrophe.
B-O-O-M.
That's
some people pronounce it Boom, others M Boom, you know, so.
And
it is
the chair that you're replacing.
Well, I'm replacing Maestro Steve Berrios, who may he rest in peace, and I don't take that lightly, because he was indeed a master drummer, percussionist in every sense of the word. And being a New Yorican like myself, we have this strong cultural bond together, and we also have a history with Mongo Santa Maria as well.
I want to play something by him. I want to play some more music.
Okay.
Let me say this. Oh, please say more about
M. Boom?
More about Steve Berrios.
Well, Steve was a fantastic. I believe he was in Mongo for about possibly 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he was an apprentice of Julito Collazo, the great master bata drummer from Cuba. Played all of the instruments, drum set, conga, bongo, timbales, bata, etc. Was fully knowledgeable in the liturgical music of the Yoruba tradition of Paulo Congo, and Abacua and who knows what else. I mean, he was encyclopedic in his knowledge. So he was, besides him, many heroes, but he was one of them when I was growing up. And his father, Steve Berrios Sr., Esteban Berrios, was a fantastic drummer and timbala player as well, who played with the Marcelino Guerra Orchestra. Marcelino Guerra, his nickname was Rapinde. He was a Cuban guitarist and very famous composer. One of his most well-known compositions is Pare Cochero, which we all, every Latin musician that plays Afro-Cuban based dance music knows that song.
Mm-hmm.
It's a standard. But Marcelino had a big band and it was nicknamed the Second Machito Orchestra, because basically they played the same repertoire as Machito's band. And they would take the overflow, because Machito's band would get so many gigs that they couldn't cover them all.
Right.
So Marcelino would do background vocals on the albums. And finally, Mario Bazar, the musical director, and Machito, why don't you just form another band?
Mm.
We'll give you copies of the charts, and you know, we'll get a little commission taste off of it, and you take the overflow of gigs.
That is lovely.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Nice.
And Steve Berrios' father was the drummer, timbala player in that band.
Nice.
So Steve learned a lot, obviously, from his father. Another gentleman he learned a lot from was Santos Miranda, who was a great drummer. Fortunately, was killed.
Mm.
There's so many great Latino musicians that are part of the fabric of the history of New York City that never get the recognition or the notoriety that they should have, but they don't get the notoriety that they should have from our own community.
Right.
So I'm always glad to speak about them when the chance occurs, like now.
And we could very well say the same thing about you, not getting the recognition and all. But
I appreciate that. It's a privilege and an honor for you to say that, so thank you so much.
Now, I want to say that before we heard, say it again, Diego?
Jege, which means, Jege. The word means I've arrived.
Oh, and yeah, that works. That being your debut release and all as a leader.
Yeah.
Days Gone By. In broken English, Sekou Sundiata from The Blue Oneness of Dreams. And I have Sekou Sundiata, spoken word, background vocals, Douglas Booth, keyboards, and background vocals, Conrad Adler on bass, Bobby Sanabria, various percussion, Jorge Sylvester on soprano saxophone. And I have something from you and him.
Right, Jorge, another unsung genius from Panama, very forward-thinking, one of the most forward-thinking musicians I've ever worked with. Jorge is the Don Ellis of Panama. Right?
Wow.
So, and look out for him. He's always performing with his big band around town.
And with his partner, Nora McCarthy.
Right, the vocalist.
The vocalist, yeah.
And Jorge, I must say, in terms of being a warrior for his own compositional output, and his own vision, there's nobody better than Jorge. He is steadfast in his vision, and I have to commend him for that. It's very forward-thinking what he does, and it's a little bit off the norm for the average person that's into Latin jazz, especially Afro-Cuban jazz as we know it.
Mm-hmm.
So check him out. I did an album with him.
Music Collage.
I did two
you
albums.
You did two? Yeah, exactly. We're going to play something from Music Collage.
Yeah, Music Collage and the Afro-Caribbean Experimental Trio.
Okay.
The Ace Trio. Very fortunate to know Jorge. Genius musician.
And so before that, we heard from Ray Barreto. Hard Hands. It's my favorite. It's one of my favorites.
Right.
And that was, what did we put? We played Fever.
Fever, yeah.
Fever. And it was funny. You know,
the old Peggy Lee hit?
Yes. And somebody did it before her.
I'm sure. I mean, La Lupe did a version of it.
Yes, exactly.
That's really hip.
Yes, when she was, after she had left Mungo, I guess, or before, or while she was with her.
During
somewhere
the same time,
that time
she actually just recorded with Mongo that debut album.
Okay.
It was called Mongo Santa Maria Presents La Lupe.
Right.
So, but she had a big solo career,
mm-hmm.
And she was featured in The Village Voice, the
yes.
New York Times.
She got the award that they used to offer, the New York Daily News that they used to do. They used to offer, they used to have a Latin award that they would.
Yeah, they had a, they for the best vocalist, best band leader, etc. Mm-hmm. The Village Voice compared her to Edith Piaf,
mm-hmm.
and so did the New York Times. Yeah. Unfortunately, she she had some personal issues, but what a genius! Also, I mean, she tell you to go, where to go in a New York minute.
But on the Ray Barretto release, there was Ray Barretto on Congas. Not vocals on that one, but apparently he's vocalizing on others. Greg August on bass, John Bailey on trumpet, Vince Chirico on drums, John DiMartino on piano, another John DiMartino situation. Adam Coker on soprano and tenor saxophones. James Moody apparently played alto sax on Fever. And Bobby Sanabria on percussion.
Yeah, that was fun. I remember you were playing that. And I go,
yes,
wait a minute.
Go ahead, tell them what you said. I thought that was kind of funny.
I said, am I playing on that? So, sometimes you do these recordings.
You said you recognized the way you were playing the Guido.
Yeah, you might touch, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and also the sound of the band, and I could tell it was Ray.
Mm.
So I was very privileged that Ray would call me occasionally to play on some of his recordings, to play percussion, various things, Guido, Shekere, etc.
Yeah.
That tune and the way Ray played it is exemplary of his ethos, which was his ethos. I mean, he was a great superstar in the world of what we call salsa.
Mm-hmm.
But everything that he did, even in that world, was based on his ethos coming from jazz.
Mm.
As a jazz musician, he would feature his players as soloists, even if they didn't want to.
Mm.
He told me that Orestes Vilato, his virtuosic timbala player, who became famous in Ray's conjunto, trumpet-based group in the late 60s and 70s,
mm-hmm.
on every recording, Ray would feature him taking these incredible timbala solos. Ray told me that when he would Orestes played in the charanga band that Ray had in the early 60s, which is a flute and violin, mm-hmm. Cuban-style dance band, that Orestes would refuse to take solos.
Why?
He just was not...
He didn't like solos.
No, I guess he wasn't extroverted enough yet or whatever, mm-hmm. and Ray forced him. No, you got to take solos,
wow.
man. Everybody solos in this band. So, and the rest is history. Because Orestes really... influenced a lot of us growing up as percussionists because he played differently when he improvised differently. Like a person like Willie Bobo, mm-hmm. or Tito Puente. Each one of these gentlemen had their own styles of doing things when they played, and you could really hear it when they improvised, when they soloed. So God bless Ray and his band leading skills.
And before that, we heard Oklupaka.
Right, that's Acapulco spelled backwards. By the great Duke Ellington.
Exactly.
And that's from my recent recording with the Manhattan School of Music Afro-Cuban Jazz Orchestra entitled Que Viva Harlem.
Woo-hoo.
And it just received 4.5 stars in Downbeat magazine.
And it's on Jazz Heads Records Label.
Yeah, out of 5. So we're very happy with that because that's it doesn't get any better than that. Hardly anybody, basically nobody gets 5 stars, and hardly anybody gets 4.5 stars. And this is a student orchestra, and the reviewer, Scott Yeno, said this is an astounding recording.
It is.
That he can't believe it's a student orchestra. And you heard the playing there, and we adapt. If you wanted to know what Duke Ellington's orchestra would have sounded like, if he really knew about Afro-Cuban rhythms and his rhythm section knew about that, that's
what it would have been.
That's what it would have been like.
Yeah. And the soloists were St. Clair Simmons on trombone, Graham Norris, tenor saxophone, Benny Benek on trumpet, and you on vocals.
At the very end.
At the end, right.
Doing some liturgical chants for Agayu, the deity of the volcano. In the Yoruba religion, based religion known as Santeria in Cuba, or Ifa. And I have to thank for that a gentleman who no longer is with us, Puntilla, Orlando Puntilla Rios, who taught me and many others that particular song. When he came over from Cuba in the 80s, during the Mario Boatlift in 1980, he knew all this liturgical repertoire that hadn't been exposed to New York-based santeros, and he brought that over and taught many of us as apprentices. So much love to Maestro Orlando Puntilla Rios y Bahía Bayetunu, where he is, and hopefully, I'm sure he is, in heaven.
Ashe. Ashe to Mundo that.
Buen, yeah.
Now, I know, I have like this quick question to ask you, but we, you know, I have to also get ready for the bandstand, so I probably should, I can't do that. You know, I have to like find something quick. So I can get ready for the bandstand. Why don't I do this?
Well, you can play the first tune, which is very short.
Yeah, that's really short. Yeah, I will. Mambo. This is the first from Que Viva Harlem. Go ahead.
It's called Mambo Infierno. It was written by Geraldo Piloto Sr., the father of Geraldo Piloto Jr., the drummer and leader of Climax, this great timba group in Cuba. Timba is the modern version of Cuban dance music, and Alberto Vera, and it was recorded by the Machito Orchestra in the late 50s, but this is live with the Manhattan School of Music, Afro-Cuban Jazz Orchestra.
Okay, on Sugar in My Bowl on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and right after we hear Mambo Inferno, Infierno?
Either way. Infierno.
Infierno. Once we hear Mambo Infierno, we'll be hearing the bandstand with our associate producer, Hank Williams. It is.
Good evening, jazz fans. This is Hank Williams, and welcome to On the Bandstand for July 6th. In this segment of the show, we bring you aerial listings of Sugar and My Bowl guests so you can experience them live. This week's live guest is drummer Bobby Sanabria. You can catch him as part of the orchestra in a free performance of Larry Harlow's Hami, a Latin opera, at Lincoln Center's Out of Doors series on July 23rd. He'll also be leading a band at Grant's Tomb on July 30th as part of the Jazzmobile series. Information for the Lincoln Center show is at lcoutofdoors.org. That's lcoutofdoors.org. For details on the Grant's Tomb concert, go to jazzmobile.org. That's jazzmobile.org. And we have other listings for you if you want to catch music this week. Pianist Harold Mayburn is at the Village Vanguard from July 8th to the 13th with guitarist Peter Bernstein's quartet. You can find more info on those shows at villagevanguard.com. Looking ahead, pianist Mark Carey leads the Focus Trio in a free outdoor concert at Bushnell Park in downtown Hartford, Connecticut on July 14th. See HartfordMondayNightJazz.com for details. That's HartfordMondayNightJazz, all one word, .com. Pianist Harold Mayburn leads a trio at Smalls on July 16th. See SmallsJazzClub.com for details. Drummer Jeff Tane Watts leads an ensemble at Iridium on July 18th and 19th. Details are at TheIridium.com. Blueswoman Alexis P. Suter is at the Turning Point in Piermont, New York on July 19th. Go to TurningPointCafe.com for info. Looking even further into the future, guitarist Pat Metheny leads his Unity group at New Jersey Performing Arts Center on August 8th. We'll have reminders as the show gets closer, but it's a good idea to pick up tickets early before they sell out. Go to njpac.org for details. That's njpac.org. That's all for this week. If you missed anything, you can see the listings at the Sugar in My Bowl blog. Go to sugarinmybowl.org and click the link for the blog. Tonight's playlist and audio from this and previous shows are on the website as well. Remember that WBAI is still in serious financial trouble. Help us stay on the air by pledging whatever you can or becoming a WBAI buddy with a monthly pledge. Click on the Support WBAI link on our website to find out more. This is Hank Williams signing off. We'll see you next week, July 13th, both on air and online on the Bandstand.
That's right. Thank you, Hank Williams. So we were talking... Go sit down. You know, you have guests in the studio...
That's all right. It's all good.
You said women are always telling you what to do.
Yeah. It's all right.
We didn't mention Elena Martinez, who is a real powerhouse.
Yeah, well, she's the co-curator as well as co-artistic director with me of the Bronx Music Heritage Center, mm-hmm. which is at Louis 9 Boulevard. Actually, we have a big event coming up soon. Called the spirit of the drum, Anya, mm-hmm. which is the female spirit of the drum in the Yoruba liturgical music.
We have to do this station business.
Of course. Why not?
While we listen to the rest of Amandla, Miles Davis's Amandla. This is, well, they'll let you know.
And this is WBAI, listener-supported, non-commercial radio in New York.
And we're back.
Yeah.
So the Bronx?
Music Heritage Center.
Yes.
Well, right now it's at 1303 Louis 9 Boulevard mm-hmm. off of Freeman Street. We have various programs there. We have percussion classes on Thursdays. That are free to the public. There's hip-hop dance classes, etc.
Now, is that percussion with drums or percussion with Guido and other?
Well, eventually it will be that. But it right now, the first thing the students get to learn is they get to learn congas.
Okay.
The basics of the conga drums, mm-hmm. and then we have poetry there. We've had like over 80 events there. Recently we had a block party celebrating cool DJ Herc.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And his influence on the Bronx and, of course, his cataclysmic starting of what we call hip-hop today. Yeah. So that was fantastic. We had about 600 people there.
Wow.
In a block party setting. And there's an event coming up called Spirit of Anya, the spirit of the drum. Anya is the female spirit that inhabits the bata drums that are called Fundamento, the sacred bata drums in the Yoruba liturgical canon. That's coming up soon. You can go to Bronx Music Heritage Center on Facebook mm-hmm. and check out the complete schedule. But the important thing about this place is that we're bringing culture back to the South Bronx, a place where At one time, there were more nightclubs, catering halls, theaters, restaurants than in Manhattan at one time.
Mm.
And that all ended with the burning of the Bronx.
Right.
So there was a cultural, there was a, an infrastructural genocide and a cultural genocide. And so the people, many people in the South Bronx, especially the new immigrants that are coming in from South America, Central America, from East India, from the West Coast of Africa, places like Ghana, they don't know any of this history of the incredible Latin and jazz bands that used to perform in the Bronx and of the artists that used to live in the Bronx, like Herbie Hancock and Jimmy Owens and many others.
Actually, I that leads me to where I want to go, but let me repeat this. That was mentioned during the bandstand, the performance at... the free performance of Larry Harlow's, it's actually Omi, you were saying?
Omi.
A Latin opera at Lincoln Center's Out of Doors on July 23rd. And then you'll be at Grant's Tomb with, who will you be there with?
With my big band,
hopefully.
If they can get the funding. If not, it'll be Ascension. Because the Jazzmobile's, all of their concerts are predicated by the funding that they get from the city, et cetera. But hopefully it will be the big band, the 20-piece, the 19-piece multiverse big band.
Wow.
Which I love doing because we have very few, the opportunities for that band to perform are few and far between.
Mm.
So when we get to do them, we really make, well, everything that we do is always special, always has meaning, but it has special meaning to me, the big band, because that is the symphonic orchestra of jazz and of Latin jazz.
Yeah, because I had made a comment about you doing big band a lot, and I was like, you really like big band, because I like quarteto, Ache.
My quartet,
small
yeah.
combos.
I love it, too, and my Nanette Ascension.
Right.
But the big band is something... It's something beyond the realm of comprehension for most lay people and for the musicians as well, because there's nothing like driving, empowering a big band.
Mm.
And I'm at the vortex of it because I'm the drummer.
Right.
So, and the leader. So, and the reason the big band is so important in terms of the history of jazz is because it is where we get to express ourselves to the highest state as far as arranging and composition and the use of colors, timbre, et cetera, et cetera. And for that, we have to thank people like Jimmy Lunsford and of course, Chick Webb and the great Maestro Duke Ellington. And I'm from the Latin side. Well, ground zero is the Machito Afro-Cubans who completely transformed this music in 1939. Right. I mean, that is like, if you're a Latin musician, and you're a jazz musician, and you don't know the Machito Afro-Cubans, then there's something wrong in your knowledge of the music.
Yeah, for sure. And you were also, and it's also, from what I gather, a big band setting is also where a person can hone their craft as well, as an artist, as a musician, perfect what they...
Exactly, because when you're in a big band, you get to hear the arrangements of other writers, et cetera, and you get, wow, that's the way this guy does things. That's the way this guy does this. So when, for example, on the new album, Gaby Bo Harlem, there's arrangements by Billy Strayhorn, Juan Tizol, Duke Ellington, of course, original compositions by Gene Marlowe, and this young, phenomenal wonderkind, Kyle Athahade, who's at the Manhattan School of Music right now. And also the gentleman we mentioned before, Geraldo Piloto Sr. and Alberto Vera. There's also music by René Hernández, Machito's pianist. And each one of them has a different approach. And when you're a musician in that setting, you get to really hear all these different approaches. Oh, wow, that's the way he approaches harmony. Oh, that's the way he approaches the rhythmic content of the music. Oh, that's the way he uses the rhythm section. Oh, wow, I dig the way he uses the lead trumpet in this one section of the tune, different than this other arranger would.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to play with other musicians. You get to learn also the art of blending and teamwork in the big band setting. It's really a unique thing, and not many people can do it well. I see a lot of big bands out there performing, and I see a lot of, like, wrong phrasing.
Wow.
The second tenor is louder than the first tenor, you know, things like that. The baritone isn't as loud as the lead alto should be. The lead trumpet isn't phrasing correctly. So it for people that are knowledgeable of the music and the tradition, it really is something out of this world when you get to hear a really incredible big band firing on all cylinders and really exuding all of the things that make up what the music is about, which is virtuosic soloing, incredible writing, and great teamwork amongst the musicians.
So that's Lincoln Center Out of Doors on July 23rd and Grant's Tomb on July 30th. Now, my question to you...
Sure. I'm ready for you. Yeah.
Growing up in the Fort Apache section of the South Bronx, how did that, and you were getting into that earlier, how, you know, but I was wondering how it affected you musically, spiritually, and developmentally.
Well, I was very lucky because at the time period that I grew up in, I was born in 1957, so the South Bronx was still a place that working class people looked at as a place where they could live in harmony with other ethnic groups and be proud of the area where they lived in. That started changing in 1960 with the completion of the Cross Bronx Expressway and the Bruckner Expressway and all the factory work that was there in the South Bronx for migrants from down from the black African American South and from Puerto Rico. Well, a lot of that ended. The Jewish community was displaced. That was from the East Tremont section. The banks redlined the South Bronx. So if you owned a building, a tenement, and it was, these tenements are very old. Some of them by that time were 100 years old, 80 years old, 90 years old. You have to replace the boiler, mm-hmm. do pointing on the building, right. replace brick. You couldn't get loans to do that.
Right.
And then also this influx of heroin into the community. I mean, everything that could go wrong went wrong in the South Bronx. The borough president was corrupt. Stanley Simon, at the time, he was arrested. Mario Biaggi, the congressman, was arrested. The city went bankrupt. Mm. Many public officials were arrested. I mean, it was a nightmare.
Wow.
But the thing that sustained us was the music.
Right.
And I saw the tail end of all that greatness and of all those nightclubs that used to exist and catering halls in the South Bronx, wow. dance halls like the Savoy Manor, mm-hmm. where there were a lot of calypso dances.
Mm-hmm.
The Savoy Manor was on 149th Street in Grand Concourse. It was the sister ballroom to the Savoy in Manhattan.
Right.
Then you had places like the Blue Morocco, where Nancy Wilson was discovered.
Wow.
The 845 Jazz Club on Westchester, Longwood, and Prospect Avenue, where people like Miles Davis used to play, Dizzy Gillespie.
Wow.
Jimmy Owens would go there frequently as a kid.
Mm.
When he grew up in the Morris Senior section of the South Bronx. Herbie Hancock used to live in the South Bronx. Mongo Santa Maria used to live in the South Bronx. Tito Puente's mom at one time lived in the South Bronx.
Wow.
I mean, I could go on and on. And near PS 52... where people like Ray Barreto, Manny Oquendo, Eddie Palmieri, I could go on and on and on. All these people went to that school.
Wow.
Johnny Pacheco.
Wow.
These were the people that would redefine Cuban music into what we call salsa.
Right. On Fania.
Right.
Yeah.
And on the Roulette record label.
Right.
And Tico.
Right.
So I grew up in all that milieu, and then we had the great radio stations like BLS at the time. They had Frankie Crocker as a program director.
Mm-hmm.
Jonathan Schwartz was the program director at WNEW.
Mm-hmm.
You had WEVD that had Symphony Sid.
Mm-hmm.
There was all these great DJs that were personalities on WABC, Cousin Brucey.
Right.
The Good Guys.
The
British Invasion started happening.
Mm-hmm.
That changed pop music completely with the advent of the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
And it changed Latin music, too.
Right.
All over Latin America, the Beatles influenced people like Juan Formel of Los Bamban in Cuba. I mean, they influenced him supremely as a songwriter.
Wow.
So I grew up in all of that. And then at the same time, the whole jazz rock movement that started with Miles Davis and Bitches Brew and several other groups at the time, John McLaughlin, the Mahavishnu Orchestra. I grew up with all of that, listening to that. And then I saw jazz artists on TV. Like, I saw Count Basie.
Right.
on the Ed Sullivan Show when I was a little kid.
There were variety shows where you could see that.
Yeah, you saw great entertainment at the highest level, like Sammy Davis Jr., who, when every Puerto Rican would see him on TV, people, the older Puerto Ricans would say, hey, did you know his mother, Elvira Sanchez, was Puerto Ricana?
Wow.
You know? Nobody, for me, I mean, I was going, wow, there's one of us on there on TV.
Right.
So, you would see people like Tito Puente on PBS. I saw Felipe Luciano.
Definitely.
On PBS. On
Soul.
Yeah. I saw Earth, Wind, and Fire give their first performances on that TV show.
Right,
on
right.
Channel 13 on PBS here. So I grew up with all, during that, and then forget it, what was happening sociopolitically. You had the Vietnam War. You had Watergate. You had the assassinations of all these great civil rights leaders like Malcolm X, Medgar Evers, Bobby and Robert Kennedy and John Kennedy. Mm-hmm. It was cataclysmic. So I grew up through all of that. And I was fortunate to have grown up through all of that because it gave me an ethos that I wouldn't have had if I would have grown up maybe 10 years later.
So how did you wind up playing with, say, a Mongol Santa Maria and Mario Bauza and all of that? How did what brought Bobby Sanabria to all of that?
Well, I mean, it's always the people you meet and the people that respect what you do.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I had a good friend that we went to in the fifth grade, I took a test. I went to Catholic school, Immaculate Conception in the South Bronx. In the fifth grade, they gave a test to only a privileged group of students that were allowed to take that test to go to an experimental school in Manhattan called the Monsignor William R. Kelly School, which was run by a bunch of Franciscan brothers who were leftists.
Oh, uh-oh.
The whole thing was to get inner-city kids from poor neighborhoods, be they white, black, red, brown, yellow, whatever, and get them in an environment where they would be exposed to college and high school courses.
Nice.
So it was a school for gifted kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, I had good grades, but I wasn't allowed to take the test.
Hmm.
Only the white kids that they picked were allowed to take the test. So my mother found out about it, and she got really mad.
Yeah.
She went to the principal in her broken English, said, you better let my son take the test. Because he's smart, you know, he deserves to take the test, and you know, what you're doing is racist, basically. So, I took the test, and I did the interview, and guess what? I was the only one accepted.
Wow.
When I got accepted, I had to take the train every day from the South Bronx, from the 6th to the 8th grade, down to 86th Street on Broadway, walk two blocks. They walked three blocks down to between Broadway and Amsterdam to where the school was. I had to do that every day for 3 years during the time period that New York City was hell. It was hell here. If you were around at that time period, you knew that it was. You had to look over your shoulder constantly. Yeah. It was like today. This is a cakewalk today.
Right.
Back then, it was like you want to see what it was like. See that movie? Several movies. The French Connection.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
You were saying earlier, Dog Day Afternoon.
Dog Day Afternoon.
Pretty much anything by Martin Scorsese in the earlier days.
Yeah, Taxi Driver.
Taxi Driver.
Wolfen. See those movies. You'll see what New York was like. It was not a pretty place.
Like the Warriors.
Yeah. From 1963 to 1973, New York was hell.
Mm.
And it continued like that until 1977. Into the 80s.
Yeah.
But 77 was when that blackout happened where the city exploded.
That's right.
So I had to do that, and it was great for my character because I developed an independent spirit, and I was exposed to things that I had never been exposed to. For example, in the sixth grade, one of our assignments in English class was to read the autobiography of Malcolm X.
Mm.
So what happens? I become sociopolitically aware.
Mm-hmm.
They informed us about the outrageous behavior of the Nixon administration at that time. We marched against the Vietnam War. We were kids in the sixth grade marching against the Vietnam War.
Uh-huh.
But the difference was we knew why we were marching.
Right, right.
So that was a great experience going to that school, and I met a friend there named David Carmona, who also went to the school. He lived a couple of blocks away from the Manhattan School of Music.
Oh.
And I believe he grew up in the building that George Carlin grew up in.
Okay.
So one day we were both into music.
Mm-hmm.
We just didn't have any outlet to learn about music because there was no music classes at the school.
Mm-hmm.
And
did you already have instruments?
No, we didn't have anything. Okay. I mean, I played congas on the side of, like many of us did, on the sides of the car bumpers in those days because they were made out of metal.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
So we were getting all that street training rhythmically, but David was playing trumpet, self-taught. Then finally we got to high school together, and we went to Cardinal Hayes High School in the South Bronx. And anybody that's listening out there who's a Hayes man, up Hayes and all its loyal men, I picked that school because it was the closest to where I lived.
Okay.
But my freshman year, I was bored out of my skull because I had already taken Latin in the sixth grade.
Mm-hmm.
They placed me in the honors class, but we're doing Latin again. I'm going, wait a minute, I took this already, man.
Right.
Taking biology. I took biology in the sixth grade and the seventh, took chemistry in the seventh grade. What am I doing here? So, but by that time, I was completely immersed in music. Mm-hmm. And David one day goes, we formed a band. The early incarnation of Ascension.
Oh.
We called it Orquesta Suprema. And what we were trying to do was imitate Eddie Palmieri and Santana.
Oh, wow.
So we would listen to the recordings and try to figure out what they were doing harmonically and this, that, and the other. But it was like we needed musical training, man. Mm-hmm. So the band director, Mr. Ryan, may he rest in peace, who just passed away last year, he said to us, you guys really want to be professional musicians. And we started gigging.
Mm-hmm.
I was gigging with little, what we call in Spanish, bentetu bands. You know, bentetu means you, bentetu, you, come over
come
here.
Over here.
Let's play, you know. We were street musicians. That's the best way to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
But we started, with that band that we formed, we started gigging all around the city, man.
Mm-hmm.
Bunch of 15, 14, 16-year-old kids. Staying out till 4 or 5 in the morning.
What kind of gigs? You were in clubs?
Yeah.
Wow.
There were restaurants, clubs, things in the village.
Right.
The Lower East Side, you know, Junkie Central Station, man. It was like, forget it, man. You see cats coming out of the bathroom with the needle still in the arm. They'd be going, excuse me, I'll be done in a second, you know? Yeah. The difference is they were polite. But in any case, Mr. Ryan said, look, if you got, and David had already turned me on to the Berklee College of Music.
Okay.
So I said, listen, you guys are never going to pass the audition because you don't know your scales. You don't know anything. You don't know what a harmonic minor is. You don't know any of the modes, Aeolian, Iolian, Mixolydian, none of that. Dorian, Phrygian, that, you know. So he said, listen, 3 days out of the week, come after school, after band class, and I'll give you free harmony lessons for about an hour, 90 minutes.
Nice.
And because of Mr. Ryan, we were able to pass the audition to go to the Berklee College of Music. When we were in the Berklee College of Music, my freshman year, I was assigned to the best ensemble in the school, which was the Michael Gibbs Chrome Waterfall Orchestra. He was the composer in residence at the school.
Mm-hmm.
And in the band was Bill Frisell on guitar, Kermit Driscoll on bass.
Mm.
The guy that was playing guitar before Bill Frisell was Pat Metheny.
Oh, my God.
Because it was made up of the best students and teachers.
Mm.
I remember Bill Frisell came in one rehearsal, and I said to Kermit, hey, what happened to the guy?
The other kid.
The other guy. And he goes, that guy? That's Pat Metheny, man. He's on a world tour for ECM, man.
Wow.
And in that band, it was amazing. I was playing percussion. Now, the only reason I was playing percussion in that band was he had seen Weather Report. And he saw them with a hand percussionist. So he wanted a hand percussion. There was nobody in the school could do that because nobody knew. First of all, nobody had those instruments.
Right.
And second of all, nobody knew how to play them.
Right.
But I had that street training from rumbiando in the parks. And the other thing was that all the music was in odd meters. For those of you listening, odd meters, it's not 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. Some of the odd meters are like, they used to be called novelty meters. These are like time signatures like 7, 9, 14, 21, you know, so sometimes the music would be composites of that, like a bar of 7, a bar of 9, a bar, and then a bar of 7 again, and then a bar, maybe a 5, and you'd have to come up with a groove. So you had to think in your head, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So you had to come up with a groove for that. Now, I had become a fan of Don Ellis, the most forward-thinking composer that ever in the history of the music. And Don exclusively did that in his big band. And I had seen his big band on Channel 13 on PBS. Mm-hmm. So I was into it already, and I knew I had the musicality innately to do that. Mm-hmm. So I was in heaven.
Yeah.
But I never would have been able to do that if I would have stayed in the South Bronx.
Now, I got to play something.
Sure.
I got to play something because you were talking about odd meters, and, of course, I thought of this cat.
Thank you.
I'm here in the studio, and I'm going, I can't believe you're playing this, because I haven't heard this stuff in years.
And that's Bobby Sanabria. Bobby Sanabria is a guest on Sugar in My Bowl. My name is Joyce Jones. We just heard Zimbabwe by Mongo Santamaria from Espiritu Libre. And before that, we heard with from the discussion of odd meters, Jorge Sylvester. Jorge Sylvester from Music Collage. And that was the first cut, actually. It was Token.
Right.
Claudio Rodigi is on it. Gene Jackson, another recording with Gene Jackson.
On drums, yeah.
On drums, great. Yeah. And let's see, we have Monty Croft on vibraphone.
The ubiquitous Monty Croft from Facebook.
Yes.
If you want words of wisdom, you can get from Monty every day, you know.
And
things will that will blow your mind and curve your spine.
Santi Di Briano on bass. Bobby Sanabria is on percussion. Congas, timbales, bongo, ia batatrum, chicare bells, guatacas, whole blades, wind chimes. What is this? Kwa?
Kwa. That kwa is the sticks that we play on a small barrel in Afro-Puerto Rican music.
Okay.
It's the equivalent to what the Cubans call guagua in their music. But, yeah, I remember this. I can't believe you played this, too, because these things are things that I've done over the years,
yes,
and I've just forgotten about them because through no fault of my own, but just, you know, you move on and you
go
do
to the
things.
Next. Yeah,
yeah, and these are these recordings still hold the test, stand the test of time.
They do.
And we were talking about odd meters. That piece was in 10.
Mm-hmm.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But to make it simpler for you as a musician to feel it, you just count half of that. So you go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Boom, baka, chika, bop, bata, chika, chika, boom, baka, boom, chika, chika, bop, bata, chika, chika, baka, taka, chika, taka, bop, bata, chika, taka, chika, taka, chika. So
yeah,
that's how the tumba with the congas was going there. And Jorge let me take a small little timbala solo there on top of that overdub. But yeah, that's just part of the genius of this man from Panama, and Santi Di Briano's from Panama also on the bass.
And Marvin Sewell is on guitar.
Another great genius who plays a lot with Cassandra Wilson.
Exactly.
You know? And you played that Zimbabwe cut. That was written by, at the time, the gentleman who was the musical director for Mongo, Sam Furness, who may he rest in peace. He's no longer with us. He played soprano, alto saxophone and baritone saxophone and flute in the band, and also percussion. Everybody in Mongo's band always had to have multiple roles. You hear me on drum set, shekere. So that, you know, another example of Mongo's nurturing of young musicians. He was the Art Blakey of Afro-Cuban jazz. So many cats came through his band. And that's on a little known recording called Espiritu Libre, or Free Spirit. And if you get it, it's a collector's item. I think it's available now. I think it's available now on CD. But if you get the album, it's a collector's item.
If you can find the CD, you have a collector, because it's not easy to find. I'm telling you, I was like, "Ooh, I'm gonna get this."
But it's so great to hear this music, because what's hip about it is that it's still relevant today and still stands the test of time.
Now, I got word, people. Bobby's coming back next week. Because there's so much. There's so much here, and we haven't really had a chance to listen to Bobby's work too
well,
much.
I mean,
we hear his work as a sideman, because we have to do that. We have to look at the complete Bobby Sanabria.
Oh, man, but I'm gratified. I mean, I thought that we were just going to talk about the new album, and here you are pulling out all these things.
Yeah.
It's a good thing. I almost feel like you're going to pull out some old... It's a good thing it's not video, man. Because and guess what? Check this out.
You know? Oh, man. What? You playing that?
Wow. But, I mean, I'm privileged that I've had the opportunity to perform with and record with these great musicians. It really brings back great, great, great memories. And also, it's great for you out there in the listening public to check out some of these musicians like Jorge Sylvester, Santi Di Briano, Monty Croft. All of these guys have their own groups and own recordings out. And, of course, the ubiquitous Mongo Santa Maria, what can I say?
Tell me about the new project.
Oh, well, the new album, Que Viva Harlem.
No, the Ben.
Oh, well, yeah. I'll get to that in a second.
Okay. Well, Que Viva Harlem.
All right, Que Viva Harlem is a new album by the Manhattan School of Music, Afro-Cuban Jazz Orchestra.
Yes.
We've done two previous albums with this student orchestra that
yes.
I teach at the Manhattan School of Music. I've been teaching there 16 years.
You did the tribute to Tito Puente. On
right.
That.
Tito Puente Masterworks Live.
And
Kenya Revisited Live, which
yes.
was a tribute to the Machito Afro-Cubans and their incredible album, Kenya, the greatest album they ever did. With that album, we did the whole album. We redid it live in front of an audience, but with new arrangements.
Mm-hmm.
Tito Puente, we did the same thing with some of his great big band works live with new arrangements. And both those albums were nominated for Latin Grammys, and this new one that just came out hopefully will get nominated for a Latin Grammy, win it.
Hopefully
and
also, it'll win.
And hopefully a mainstream Grammy, you know, win it in the Latin Jazz category. But we're very proud of it. The three albums, if you get any of them on Amazon.com, the money goes to, the proceeds go to the scholarship fund at Manhattan School of Music. And
yes.
there's music on the album. It's called Que Viva Harlem, dedicated to the birthplace of Afro-Cuban Latin Jazz. Harlem, New York, because in 1939, the Machito Afro-Cubans at on 110th Street and 5th Avenue, right there, was a Jewish catering hall called the Park Plaza
mm-hmm.
and the Park Palace Ballroom, rather. And there, on the second floor, in the 1,500-seat ballroom, was where the Machito Afro-Cubans first fused jazz arranging technique with Afro-Cuban rhythms. So the music was born, Afro-Cuban jazz in New York City. And the rest is history. And there's music of Ellington there. There's music of Juan Tizol, the great Puerto Rican valve trombonist, also featured on the album. There's music of Billy Strayhorn.
Mm, yes.
An incredible version of his last composition, Blood Count.
Yes, I actually plan to play that, but I'll play that next week.
Great. And some new compositions as well, because we're always moving the music forward. And the album closes with an 18-minute Que Viva Harlem Suite, written by Kyle Athade, who's a young wunderkind at the school. And there's an incredible, also 11-minute piece called Let There Be Swing, dedicated to this Savoy Ballroom and all the Lindy Hoppers, like Frankie Manning and others. That goes from swing to Puerto Rican bomba to jazz mambo, all that in a bag of chips. So we hope you get the album. It's available at Amazon.com.
Yes,
and
yes.
Then there's a new work that's coming out in August by my good friend and incredible guitarist, Cuban tres player and Puerto Rican cuatro player, Ben Lapidus, who's a great educator. He's also an author. He's an ethnomusicologist. And he has a book on Changui, which is the music from the eastern part of Cuba that is the definitive book on that style of music. Mm-hmm. Everybody should check it out. But he's made many albums over the years, and he's been on sort of under the radar, but he is definitely the authority on that instrument, the Cuban tres, and a force to be reckoned with on that instrument. And the latest recording is called Ochosi Blues, Ochosi being the deity of the hunt in the Yoruba pantheon from Ifa and Santeria. And, of course, the blues being the bedrock of the jazz tradition and African-American culture and music in this country. And people like myself, the great Cuban percussionist Pedrito Martinez,
yes.
the great nonagenarian 93-year-old NEA jazz master
Candido
is featured on the album.
Beautiful.
Gene Jefferson,
yay.
Great. Alto saxophonist from Panama, who made his bones with Tito Rodriguez's band, Machito, Puente, Ray Charles. He was in the house band at the Apollo in the 60s and 70s. He's featured on the album. The unsung hero of the organ from Panama, Frank Anderson, genius, who was a conductor on Broadway, one of the first conductors of color on Broadway, if not the first. Enid Lowe, great, incredible jazz singer from Panama, is also featured in a cast of other characters.
Is she on this recording?
Yes.
They're all
on the recording.
They're all on this
recording.
They're
all on the recording.
Excellent.
So you're going to get a preview and of the piece, and the piece is written, this piece is written by T.J. English, who is the great author, New York Times bestselling author, works like the recent Savage City, which is going to be on FX. It's going to be a 10-part series on FX.
Oh, my gosh. Excellent. Starting when, do you know?
Sometime next year, I believe.
Wow, nice.
And it's going to star Matt Dillon. It's going to be heavy because it's going to portray that 10-year period from 63 to 73 when New York was really, you know, it was like the yin and the yang, Sodom and Gomorrah, whatever you want to compare it to metaphorically. And he's also the author of many articles for many different publications like Playboy, Esquire, etc. In terms of crime journalism, many great best-selling books like Born to Kill on the Vietnamese Mafia,
and you folks
the Westies. I mean, forget
and you
it.
Folks at the Bronx
Music Heritage Center
had an event with him.
That's right. We had him talk about the book, and he also talked about the history of stop and frisk in New York City and the corruption in the police department, past, present. And past and present, both past and present, and how we as citizens need to be always vigilant in terms of how the police treat us. Which there are many great, great officers out there. We only hear about the bad ones, but when the bad ones do things, they have to be held accountable.
That's for sure. What's the name of this song?
Well, he wrote it. He wrote the lyrics. It's called "The Sweeter the Lovin', the Darker the Rue." And if you don't know anything about New Orleans cooking, the rue is the foundation of a lot of the dishes. So you're going to hear Bobby Harden on vocals, Jared Gold on organ, Aaron Weistrup on guitar, Paul Carlin on baryton tenor sax, Greg Glassman on trumpet, Elizabeth Francois on trombone, yours truly on drums, Candido on congas, and Ben Lapidus, in this case, on the guitar. The arrangement is by him. And for those of you who are into the New Orleans funk, you'll dig this.
So we're going to say goodnight to Bobby Sanabria with the playing of this song. And we will hold our, well, we won't hold our breath, but we will wait impatiently until next week when Bobby Sanabria makes his return to Shogun.
Thanks so much, Joyce. It's been a pleasure, honor, and a privilege. Thank you for everyone for listening.
Thank you.
My lady was cooking in the kitchen at noon. While she's chopping the onions, I thought of the stew. The garlic inspired me, the saffron was fine. And chili peppers and basil, some sweet cooking wine. Had a long way to go. Rue is precious and fickle.
rainbow people for all the different races and colors in the world. We'd like to feature Mr. Chembo Corniello on the congas and Ronnie on the flute.
I hate to talk over this, but what we're listening to right now is Larry Harlow. And, how do you take off your glasses to do that? Rainbow People, this is Dave Valentin's Rain People. Live at Birdland, Larry Harlow live at Birdland. Bobby Snobby is on here. What are you playing on here, Bobby? Actually, let me find you. Okay, where are you?
I'm playing the drum set, okay. You know, with all those cowbells all over it. So,
okay.
So it sounds like there's a timbala player,
right,
and a drummer and a guido player and everything,
right,
else, you know. So I'm always, in particular me, I'm always thrust into the role of multitasking.
Because you can.
Yeah.
That's why they call you. Because you can.
Thank you.
Now I'm going to turn off Bobby's mic because we're going to talk to Bobby next week. I just needed some information, and we are so grateful that we're going to be talking to Bobby next week. I'm telling you. Yay! Because it can't be done in one show. You know that. You can see. You hear. You know. And we need to make room for La Nueva Alternativa. And before this, we heard, what did we hear? Oh, yes. The sweeter the loving, the darker the rue.
That's right.
Ben Lapidus.
On the in this case on the guitar, the electric guitar, but on the rest of the album, he's playing Cuban tres,
okay,
as well as guitar and some other percussion and things.
Because it says that somebody else is playing guitar, Aaron Weistrop.
I believe it's Ben,
okay,
taking the solo.
Okay.
And if it's not, it's still cool anyway because he wrote the arrangement.
Exactly, that's it.
But I
and
mean,
TJ English wrote the lyrics.
Yeah, yeah. I'm very happy to have participated on that because it's a great album. It's coming out in August, and that kind of tune is what brings the music back to its roots in terms of the funk, in terms of pop music, etc., with elements of the blues. So,
all right then. So we are going to get ready for La Nueva Alternativa. I don't see them. They haven't come in. Oh, yep, there they are. I think I see them now. All right. This has been Joyce Jones, Sugar in My Bowl, with...
My name is Bobby Sanabria. You're listening to WBAI FM,
New York City.
99.5
FM, WBAI.org on the web. And we'll be seeing Bobby Sanabria next week. Stay tuned, everybody, for La Nueva Alternativa.
Hello? Bueno, this is Sonia Sanchez. I urge you to give your generous support to listener-sponsored community radio, WBAI 99.5 FM in New York.